Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 27 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kunze. Have markets bottomed? Or perhaps I'm just hoping for stuff. I'm talking with Edmund Higginbottom. He's got some insights from the global trends, particularly in private equity space. And then Craig Ivory from Future Growth Green Bonds. But he's got particularly nice ideas around green bonds for private individuals who maybe want to put solar or something in their house. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Tongaat Hewlett abandons a planned $5 billion rights issue that was sent very late on Friday. They have appointed a chief restructuring officer. I don't know what their next plan is and how that plays out. Business Day 91, ready to swoop on cheaper shares after global right. Hannes van der Berg, he's saying British American Tobacco, Shoprite, good defensive, while Naspers, Process, Apple are looking cheap. Morning markets, US very green on Friday. S&P up 3.1%, Nasdaq up 3.5%. Asia's green, Sydney up 1.9%, Tokyo up 1%. Commodities mostly green, gold, $1,837 an ounce. Brent, $113.50 a barrel. Platinum, $910. There's your red. Palladium, $1,895. Rand, $15.82. Top 40 looking for almost 600 points up. That's 0.9% to the green as Tencent trades up 4.2% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kunze, Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, as always, appreciate the early morning time. When we chatted early May, and I said to you then how you trade in this market, and you said, frankly, more cash was a good idea. And so far, that certainly has played. We had a good week last week. Markets bounced, particularly in the US. I mean, is there a sense that maybe the selling is over, or is this sort of optimism and we need to get sort of more data and stronger data?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, it's markets are what we call, discounting mechanisms. And yeah. I mean, today's prices are a reflection of tomorrow's profits. And we always try that old euphemism, how much is in the price? I guess that's what we're trying to find out now. So I think on one hand, I think the markets are certainly pricing in a general slowdown. We know that with inflation where it is and the CPI prints and certainly some of the PMI numbers that have come out in the last week or two globally have been quite worrying. But again, how much is in that price? I suspect the markets might have overshot a little bit to the downside. Difficult to see how Americans can be heading into a deep recession with unemployment, pretty much at 3%, 4%.
Yeah.
So I think there's still it may have overshot. So I think there was a little bit of a bargain hunting last week, certainly a lot of profits. We saw bond yields coming off a little bit as well from where they were. So I think that's added to a little bit of profit hunting. But I don't know if we're quite at the bottom yet, but I think we're getting close, would be my summary.
If we're not there, we probably are very close to it. Is there a single sort of data point that you watch for, or is that simply too easy and kind of more stuff left for the movies? It's a lot of moving parts, and frankly, look what's in front of you.
Exactly. And trade what's in front of you, not what you think, as the saying goes. I would certainly look at that US 10-year. I'd look at the European bond yields as well. Look at those credit spreads. So very much the fixed income space, I'd be keeping an eye on that. As these bond yields lessen a little bit, I think the anticipation is the Fed might not continue with that aggressive tightening. Of course, the inflation prints are ones to watch, PMI. And the dollar, it's all about the dollar. The strong dollar is going to impact US earnings. That is a fact. It just depends how much the dollar strengthens. And look at some of the crosses, like the yen as well. So those three, look at the dollar, look at the crosses, look at inflation prints, and look at the bond yields would be my advice.
A last question I mentioned in the intro there, a very late sense out from Tongaat, 20 to 6 on a Friday afternoon, abandoning their rights issue. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say there's no hope here, but I got to say, I mean, it's not a stock I've watched closely for a while. It's certainly not one I would be looking to get involved in at this point.
You know, it's one of those disappointing stocks that was generally well held many, many years ago, and it had a solid business model back when sugar wasn't the next tobacco, I guess. You know, but it's, I mean, I make light of it, but a very sad story. But nevertheless, I think it's very, very difficult to turn this business around. Far too much debt relative to what their profits are. I would say highly speculative. If you want to take a punt, go for it. But shareholders at some form, shape or form the next couple of months are going to get highly diluted, whatever happens.
Yeah, this was 180 bucks in late 2014, and it is now R2.60, and there is more dilution still to come, as Nick says. They've got to do that rights issue. Nick Kunz, portfolio manager, Sunlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning. And it's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Recent selling. Do you think we've seen the bottom of the bear market? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Edmund Higginbotten. He's MD at Virgin Capital, also South African Venture Capital Association member. Edmund, appreciate the early morning time. You were on a panel recently looking at global trends in private equity funds spaces. One of the big trends that was identified is an increased allocation to alternatives and particularly into more private equity.
The allocation to private capital as part of that alternative basket has been increasing, and also specifically allocation to private equity is increasing.
Is this a trend that has been sort of coming over time, or is this a more recent trend? I mean, I almost want to say, you know, we've obviously had the pandemic and the like, but it would, you know, intuitively, I don't know why a pandemic would necessarily drive this sort of change, which makes me think this has probably been on the horizon for a while.
So I think there's a sort of long-term trend over the last 20 years. And actually, the pandemic was the shot of adrenaline on that trend over the last 2 years. And to some extent, that trend may now be peaking, which I'll come back to. But over the last 20 years, we've had historically low interest rates. Mm-hmm. And that's really been driven by low inflation in the West. And that's been driven in turn by cheap goods from China and the fact that China joined the WTO 20 years ago. And what we saw over the pandemic, when we had the supply crunch and we had lockdowns in the West and here too in South Africa, we saw a new burst of cheap money from the cheap money, low interest rates from the policy setters in the US and Western Europe and elsewhere in the developed market. And that last sort of adrenaline boost to the market, including to private equity, has occurred over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But and to some extent, the market's turning.
Yeah, you make that point. You mentioned their low interest rates. I mean, that is the big shift that we're seeing. We're moving away from low interest rates, with central banks the world over raising rates and in some places quite aggressively for the first time in a long time.
That's right. And you know, capital markets are driven more by policymakers than by the real economy. That's really the lesson of the last 2 years, and
mm-hmm.
perhaps actually the lesson of the last 20 years as well. And, you know, we've seen, you know, probably 2022 as the top of the market in terms of global private equity. So we saw the largest fund sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So something like $1.2 trillion was raised in 2021 by private equity globally.
Yep.
And that was literally double the amount raised in 2020. And all that extra money means more competition for deals. And more competition for deals means higher valuation.
Yeah.
So if you look at the average U.S. private equity acquisition multiple in 2020 and 2021, that was 15 times EV to EBITDA, or 15 times enterprise value to earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. In 2011, 2012, it was more like 9 times. So that's a multiple expansion, as we call it, of about 50%. As we see, you know, we see that as being probably the top of the market. On the other hand, in terms of Africa, 2020, 21, 2019, is actually probably the opposite. We were seeing smaller fundraisers, probably something like $1.6 billion a year on average over the last 5 years. And that's probably about a third less than the previous period. And in terms of valuations for new deals, those valuations and new deals were, you know, were much more moderate. You know, we're looking at probably half the EBITDA multiples in the US, or maybe just over half.
Okay, because a 15 multiple, as you point out, 15 multiple is chunky. The other big trend that they mentioned there is greater regulatory pressure, which is increasing compliance costs and the like. I mean, in one sense, you know, improved regulation is often good for an industry, but it can sort of stymie innovation. It can make it harder to move forward. The regulation that you're seeing in this particular space, is it creating, aside from obviously creating increased costs, is it creating a drag on the industry?
I think the biggest type of new regulation that we see in the US and Europe is about more transparency on fee structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily a factor slowing down the growth of the sector. I think if anything, it increases the potential for growth of the sector. And actually, if you look at, you know, our world in Africa, in the Pan-Africa funds and the locally focused funds, I think we've already reached quite a very high degree of transparency on fees. And that's because the market here is really driven by the big institutions, a lot of them development finance, you know, the big development banks in Europe and elsewhere. And they've always required a very high standard of transparency on fee structures. So I think our little part of the world has done pretty well on that.
Yeah, and I take your point. You know, transparency on fees is always a winner. No one's going to complain around that. Edmund Higginbotham, MD for Verdant Capital and a South African Venture Capital Association member, appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Craig Ivey, investment analyst at Future Growth. Craig, appreciate the early morning time. Talking green bonds, and I want to get to the home loan part, but we'll get to there in a moment. Green bonds, I mean, when people hear that, they're typically going to think renewable energy, maybe water. Is that typically what sort of investments are we going to be talking around when we talk around green bonds?
Morning, Simon. Thanks for having me. I think that's mostly what we see coming through to the market from the bank side. Obviously, from the institution investor side, we see a lot of the money going to the bigger corporate at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there has also been some social development bonds coming through. But largely, I think it's around renewable energy. That's where the key focus seems to be at the moment.
And banks, I mean, the process typically is banks going to market with a green bond, raising cash and then essentially loaning it out into industry. And as that sort of demand starts to increase, as we see more people interested in A, lending and you know, to the bank and buying the bond, and B, the demand for the cash, we sort of start seeing an increased demand and ultimately an improved cost of funding.
Yeah, that's what we think is going to happen. I think from the investor side, the two benefits that you get is there's now a lot more transparency that you see coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So previously, you know, a corporate would borrow money and then it would be used for general corporate purposes. Now the banks actually have some disclosure. So they say that, you know, the proceeds being raised are going to this project, this renewable project, and they're providing annual disclosure. I mean, the corporate that's borrowing the money now has disclosure requirements. So I think that is the one aspect of it. I think the other aspect of it is that other investors probably that that previously or not able to invest directly in the renewable projects like we can in future growth. This might be an option for them, you know, because it is, the funds are ring fenced. It is directly used for those products. You have the available disclosure. So I think those are maybe the two things that would, from the investor side. And then I think obviously from the corporate side, the point that I tried to highlight is that, you know, with the increased cost of electricity, I think corporates are now could be incentivized if you offer them lower funding, be incentivized to take out, you know, a bond for a green for solar panels, for example, or for example, even a home loan. You know, you used to see people just taking out the home loan. Now, if the banks could incentivize them to take out also an additional part for solar panels or water circulation system, I think there could be a big market there.
Yeah, that's a point that really struck me. I mean, typically, if you want to do solar, whether it's off-grid or grid-tied or maybe you just want some battery backup for the load shedding, most people are going to have to raid their current bond, perhaps get some cash out of that. Maybe they've a credit card, but it depends on size. And you're saying banks could actually get quite smart with this and say to folks, you've got your home loan with us, take a separate a green bond for that solar on the roof, that battery backup, and create a market targeting the greening of retail houses via home loans, and potentially this could be at a better rate than your home loan rate.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking, and that's really the benefit. I think that, you know, by the bank starting with the corporates, you're getting the suppliers on board, you're getting the partners on board, you're understanding the pricing points, what investors are looking for, and I think that could be used and filtered down to the ordinary person with the home loan. The point that I also try to make is that, you know, it's potentially a big market out there. And if you think about the banks just tapping into an existing equity on a home loan, that's a big market without an additional credit losses that could come into the system, because it's just a touch on into the existing home loan. So I think that it is in the process. I think they are thinking about it. It's just about, you know, getting enough data to provincially create a marketplace for this. And by connecting, you know, them or connecting the retailer or the retail customer actually to the preferred supplier, you actually, you know, not just you're giving them comfort that the loan is actually being used for the correct thing.
Yeah, I like that point, and I take your point. It's actually cheaper and easier for the bank because they know the customer. They've done the due diligence. The customer has been paying the bond. They've got that property. And the numbers that you run, if only 5% of the South African retail market were to use such a product, that then creates a 50 billion rand market, because, of course, home loans are sitting at 1.1 trillion and some change. Craig Ivey, investment analyst from Future Growth, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. On Friday, we were chatting with Marcel Wasserman around paying your home loan off early. And he had a different tweak on it. He says, rather than put the money into the bond and don't keep that bond open, just put the money into an investment and then pay it off in a lump sum. Big thing for him was, don't keep the bond open. Yo, everyone on the weekend was saying to me, no, they must. I remain no. I think pay the bond and then close it. Question we asked you, though, was, have you paid off a home loan? It was around 40% each who were either still paying or almost 40% who had paid off a home loan, and kudos to that group. 20% said, yep, never had a home loan, and perhaps those are the real winners. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchli, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're going to be talking to Invicta.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.